The subject tonight is God. Now, you have heard sermons on the Word of God and all the different facets of His revelation concerning Himself. But this time, I'd like to focus attention on God, period. God is a spirit. All other spiritual beings derive their existence from Him. He is creator of all, Genesis 1:1. But Revelation 22:21, the last verse, reveals that He is gracious to all who believe in Him. The idea of a transcendent God is a formidable thought, that God is above everything. Now, we all recognize from the Scriptures that God has created this material universe. Everything that exists, He has made. And that concept has been enlarged in recent years as scientists have discovered that the universe goes out a great deal farther than what they thought. And the number of galaxies and such, billions upon billions of stars, is much greater than they had ever dreamt. And it goes on and it goes on. He is greater than all of this. All of this is inside Him. Now, people who desire to worship God are in no position to tell Him how they are going to worship Him. God has revealed in Scripture ways in which He is pleased with the worship of mankind. And in this case, a person comes by the revealed Word of God to worship before God, or God is not listening. You cannot worship God with altars and candles, ceremonies, pomp and circumstance. He is not interested in any of it. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is, from within the inmost nature of man, according to the truth that he sees in Scripture. And God is listening. God does respect that. For this book is His book. He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. And when we worship Him as Scripture directs, He is listening. And He is pleased with the worship of His people. Now, Scripture tells us what God is like. And tonight, we are going off the deep end. This is a matter of Scripture revelation, but we're talking about a concept that is vastly greater than all of us put together can understand. The theologians have divided up this into two categories. There are communicable attributes of God. That is, He has attributes that He can communicate to His people, and we may share them. His holiness, His goodness, His love, all of these are classified as communicable attributes. He imparts these to us, and He is pleased when we share these attributes with Him. Holiness is not something we work up. It is something that He imparts, or we don't have it. Goodness is not something we manage to do by gritted teeth. God is good, and He imparts His goodness to His people, and that is something we receive from Him. Love for God is not something we manufacture. God is love, and He loves His people, and we in turn may love Him back with the love that He has created within us. All of these are communicable attributes, and we have a good idea of what's involved in all of this because we are part of it. And that's wonderful that we can share in these attributes of God, and that He is pleased to have us in this fellowship with Him, in His presence forever. But I want to go beyond all that to what the theologians call the incommunicable attributes of God. He has characteristics that we cannot share and will never share, no matter how long we exist. He has these attributes in perfection as well. And I want us to reach out in our thinking tonight and see if we can grasp something of the real nature of God and how great He really is. One of these attributes is called self-existence. God is a being who exists. He had no beginning. He will have no end. He exists because of who He is. He is Lord of the universe, and He is one who has always existed and always will exist. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God is. That is His self-existence. He has always been there. He always will be there. Now, we have come on the scene lately, and He is pleased to have us share His existence. All those who trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior are going to be caught up into this attribute of God. We have begun our existence, but we are going to go on now by His grace and exist as long as He will. That is something to ponder. That's something that we can't manufacture. That's not something that we can arrange. It's something that He graciously imparts to those who trust Him to do so. We call that eternal life. It's an attribute that He already has and can never lose. It's an attribute we don't have. But when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we now live forever in Him. That is a staggering idea, that God would share His eternal life with His people. But that is what the Scripture promises. In Isaiah 40:18, the prophet says, "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare to Him?" Well, there isn't any. He is absolutely unique. He is the one true God. And we can make no comparisons. He is what He is. And by His grace, He takes us into fellowship with Himself. And He is absolutely unique. Paul, in Romans 11:33, cries out, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." Yes, we will never fully comprehend how great He is. We don't have the ability to reach out as far as He goes. He is everywhere. All the multitude of galaxies and all the vastness of space is within Him. And He is greater than all that. And our minds are staggered at this. But we can worship Him for His greatness. In Revelation 4:11, John speaks of God, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Yes, He's made the universe because it pleased Him. He has made us because He is pleased with the thought of lesser creatures who can be in His presence and share His glory and splendor and worship Him from the heart. And that's amazing grace that He would think of that. Another of these incommunicable attributes is immutability. Immutability. There is no change in God ever. What He was before the creation, He still is. And what He will be at the end of all of this universe, He still is. He exists unchangeable. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am that I am." He is the I am. He exists. No other being is in that category in the entire universe. He is what He is, and He always will be that. And He is gracious to people because that's what He is like. He loves the unlovable. He is kind and gracious to those who don't deserve it. That is what He is. And He will always be that. There is no change in Him at all. One of the terrible things that mankind has done in this world, Paul charges men with in Romans 1:23. Sinful men changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. To make an image, a graven image, whether it is of a bull, as in the Old Testament, whether it is in the form of beautiful human figures, as in Greece and Rome, or whether it is in the form of monstrous creatures, as in Babylon and Egypt, where animals and demons and such were worshipped. It doesn't make a bit of difference. God cannot be portrayed by an image. He transcends all of man's ability to imagine anything that God is like. And all the idols in the history of the world have been a travesty against the nature of God. They all have torn down the true image of God. James in 1:17 says, "Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There is not a single part of His nature that ever changes, because He's perfect. And any change would have to be for the better or for the worse. And He can't do either. He is absolutely perfect. He cannot become better and He cannot become worse. So God is immutable, absolutely without change. That means that the same God who promised salvation in Isaiah is the God who promises it today. The same God who offered that salvation in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, is the God who offers it today. There is no change. God will never modify His person in any way. He is absolutely perfect. He could not be improved. And He can never change for the worse. He is immutable, unchangeable. Another of those terms is infinity. And here we are grappling with concepts that are hard for us to understand. Infinity is something that goes on forever, and there's no end to it. And our way of thinking, that leaves us uneasy. There's got to be an end out there somewhere. But in this case, there isn't, because we're talking about the nature and person of God. There is no end for Him. In artistic portrayals, oftentimes you will have a line in a picture that arcs out to a point where it's supposed to be infinity, and it just disappears, you know, it keeps on going. And that is the idea, just keeps on going. That's hard for us to perceive. But Scripture does say that exactly about God. He is infinite. Three different areas are touched by that idea of infinite. One is the matter of absolute perfection. God is a perfect being. He cannot improve. He cannot deteriorate. And that reminds us of the Lord Jesus' words in Matthew 5:48, where he speaks to us, his people, and commands, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Okay, right now we can all confess we don't match that. We're not perfect. We're anything but perfect. We're very flawed creatures. Well, God is going to change that by his grace, and he's going to bring us into conformity with the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that is, to us, an impossible feat. No one can make himself perfect. We can all try. It's laughable, that's all. But God is very serious about it. He knows that his Son, the Lord Jesus, is absolutely perfect. And that's his goal for every one of his children. Absolute perfection. He will not be satisfied until we are there. Friends, we have a long way to go. But we have a great God who understands exactly what must be done. And he is putting us through this. And the process of refining is not easy that we're going through here. Life is real. Life is earnest. It's a problem. And it's there for one reason. God is working on us to make us what we ought to be. And that's a big job. He is not going to be satisfied until every one of his children are absolutely perfect, just as he is. Now, we come into existence in the middle of this. He's always been that. But he's bringing us now into his level of perfection. And that's miraculous. It is not something that is done naturally. It's a supernatural, divine work of God. A second aspect of this infinity is the time, eternity. Eternity is hard for us to grasp. For us, time is always a limited thing. Even if it's a long time, it's limited. But eternity is the idea that there is no limit. God has been here forever. He never had a beginning. He is going to exist on forever. There's never an end. And our minds reach out for this, you know, and we are staggered at the thought of this. But that is what God is like, eternity. In Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." That's what it teaches. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 3:21, pondered this. And he said in a doxology, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Yes, we had a beginning. There's nothing we can do about that. But we're not going to have an end. World without end, we shall share the existence of God. And that's amazing that he could arrange that. For we are poor, weak, feeble creatures. But he loves to have us in his presence. Only the love of God can explain that. A third aspect of that infinity is immensity. We're talking about size now. In Isaiah 66:1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Well, obviously, the temple in the Old Testament was an accommodation. It was just a specified location. This church and all others put together are in that same category, just a specified substitute. Where is God? Well, He is everywhere. You can't think of any place where He is not. He fills everything. That's immensity. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." That's immensity. It is huge. You can't go anywhere, even if you had the ability, where God is not. He is everything, and the whole universe is inside Him. That's hard for us to understand. But there is also a matter of unity. In spite of this thought of immensity, King Solomon prayed in the dedication of the temple, 1 Kings 8:60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. There is unity in Him. He is God. There are no competitors. All the, quote, gods that mankind have imagined are figments of the imagination. They do not exist. There's only one God, and He exists everywhere. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:6, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." Yes, God is a loving heavenly Father. God delights in blessing His people. He sacrificed His Son that we might be brought into fellowship with Him. That is incomprehensible. Why would the God who rules the universe want to do that? There is no human answer to that. The answer that Scripture gives is that He loves us. And that's the only thing we can say. We can't even explain that. Why would He want to love us? We can't give Him one good reason. We have been a disobedient and harmful existence on this earth, and He loves us still. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all." Christ is the ultimate answer. He loved us as a man would love a bride. And He has saved us because He so loves us. There is no human explanation for that. We can't imagine a human being going out to the yard and digging up an anthill and bringing the anthill inside because he loves ants. At least I can't imagine that. But the difference between a man and an ant is not nearly the difference between God and all of us put together. And He loves us. Friends, the incommunicable attributes of God are not things that should terrify us. We have a great God, immense beyond words. But he's a God of love who loves us so greatly that he would sacrifice his Son to bring us into his presence. That is, to us, incredible. But we can't use that word incredible, because that's what he asks us to do, believe. Trust him on that very point, that we are his objects of love, and that he loved us so much that he would put himself to the pain of seeing his dear Son die, just so he could love us forever. God is a spirit, vastly greater, vastly more loving than any of us can imagine, even in our better moments. But God is also a Trinity. There are three persons and one God. And I think that is the key to the whole of these attributes. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are not three gods. They are the one true God. And for all eternity, there has been a divine, overwhelming love between the persons of the Trinity, an eternal, powerful love between those persons. And they chose, in their infinite wisdom, that the Son would create beings that he could love. Outside of God, and bring them into fellowship with him. And this is the reason why we are saved. God loved the unlovely. God loved those who could not repay him in any way. God loved them so much that he sacrificed himself to manifest his love to those creatures and bring them into his presence. Friends, the mystery of theology is solved in the word love. He loved us. We will never be able to comprehend how great he is. He is beyond us. But we can comprehend the kind of love that would take what is unworthy and inappropriate and lift it up to a level where it is appropriate and where the love of God is shared for all eternity by creatures so inferior, so infinitely small. And yet, God loves us. Friends, God is the greatest idea that mankind has ever had. And it didn't come from within mankind. It was a revelation from above. It is still the most overpowering idea that mankind has ever had. And it needs to grip our souls, our hearts, that we might respond to that love by a love ourselves for the greatness of God. The divine love manifested in the Lord Jesus that is never going to end. We're going to be with him forever because he loved us. And he has all power in heaven and earth to see to it that the promises are kept. He loves us. What kind of love do we have for him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh Lord, forgive us that we are so selfish. Forgive us that we go our own way, seeking our own things. Help us, Lord, to understand how great thou art. Help us in our hearts to lift up our very souls to thee, and to seek thy will, and to praise thy name, and to live for thee to the best of our limited abilities. And help us, Lord, to keep focused on thee, to think of thee, to praise thee, to walk with thee, and to seek thee forever. Help us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.